Welcome to another episode of Reboot America. Oh my God, I almost forgot the title. I'm Chintze Kroshen. I'm here with my good friend, David Smith. How are you, David? Happy 4th of July.
Hi, happy 4th of July to you as well. It's been a while since we talked, so you're allowed to have one slip up there on the name of the podcast. But that'll be your last mistake for this podcast, your last time forgetting the name of the podcast ever again.
Okay. It's a deal. About 2 months ago or so, you and I both made a very bold prediction, and this was right after Donald Trump canceling his rally in Iowa. And so here's the clip of our prediction.
I think that a lot of people will look back at this and they will think that yesterday was the beginning of the end for Donald Trump in politics.
Well, David, let me ask you, do you still stand by your prediction?
I think it may have been a little bit too bold. Maybe I was thinking that something was going to start happening in the polls in DeSantis's favor a little bit faster. And that certainly has not developed. In some cases, you can actually look and see, and Trump was talking about this just a few days ago, that this is going the wrong way for DeSantis. He's going down in the polls. And it's still a little early, I think. But I think just generally that was probably a little bit of a bold prediction. Maybe it was wishful thinking. I don't know. What do you think about the prediction itself now, a couple months later?
I stand by the prediction. I see no reason to change my mind. Yes, it's true. The polls don't look good for DeSantis, but I don't know how much stock we can put into polls. Just recently, there was a poll issued by Echelon Insight, an outfit that, frankly, I never heard of.
Right.
But they're showing a trend where DeSantis was just behind Trump in January, just 2 points behind, 36-34. And then in February, you had Trump plus 15, in March plus 23, and May plus 30, and now June, Trump plus 33 over DeSantis. And in this span of time, DeSantis, according to this poll, has gone down from 34 to 16. Now, personally, I find that very hard to believe because maybe the DeSantis campaign is not flashy, but I don't see that he has done anything to justify his support going from 36 to 16.
Right.
This is the same man. How could you explain that 34% of the people were all, yes, DeSantis is the guy, and then 6 months later, it's only 16?
It's not like we've seen either legislation passed and signed into law in Florida that would repel conservatives and Republicans. It's not like we've seen some massive scandal on the part of Ron or Casey or the children are basically too young to be caught smoking marijuana or pulled over by the state police for drunk driving and shuttled home quietly in the middle of the night with no charges. It's not like we've seen any kind of stuff like that. We haven't seen anything come out of fiscal mismanagement of the office of the governor or of the state government. We haven't seen anything on the campaign front of violations of regulations or laws, or anything like that.
Nothing. I mean, no gaffes.
Yeah, maybe that's the one in this election we should be concentrating on. He hasn't had any gaffes. Maybe he needs to go out and have some gaffes just so that people are talking about him. I don't know. Maybe we've just got a guy who's just like Scott Walker, just bland. The only way to get around that is just to get out and go talk, meet people. Just every day or every 2 or 3 days, you need to be somewhere. If he goes Monday to Iowa, 2 days later, he's going up to New Hampshire, and Friday, he's in South Carolina. And then Saturday he's in Nevada, and then switch it up the next week. Every other day he's on a new cycle basis. Take a page out of Trump 2015, 2016. You say something wild and extraordinary on one day, and everybody's talking about that day. The next day, everybody's talking about the reaction to it. And then that second day or the next day, then Trump is saying something crazy again. That has just really drummed up his supporters over these years, to where now people are thinking, oh, well, that's the new normal. That's how you're supposed to be in politics. And it's like,
yeah, but I'm not sure that it's such a good idea to try to follow the Trump model, because DeSantis is not Donald Trump. I don't want him to be Donald Trump. I mean, he is his own man. This is the concern that I had about his campaign strategy. When he was getting ready to announce, I could see that his operatives on social media talking about all the endorsements DeSantis was getting.
To me, it looked like the launch of the Jeb Bush campaign
again, which is typical of the GOP consultants, which, you know, who you and I have complained about them for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as if he tries to use the Donald Trump metrics of polls, of crowd size, of saying something outrageous, I just don't think that's a winning strategy for him.
My point is not so much go out and say something flashy and extraordinary or crazy, but just go out and be heard, be seen. The media is going to cover him. He just needs to have his name out there, and he needs to have people talking about him. And
I do agree with you that he needs to do a lot of the local media and get his name out there. The other thing that I think he should do is, why doesn't he go on podcasts? I mean, I see RFK all over the place. He talks to everybody. Why doesn't he go on Joe Rogan? Go on these podcasts. Get yourself out there. I think he has been a little bit too guarded. Now, the other thing that we talked about on our very first episode was that Ron DeSantis needed to have a strategy to deal with Trump, and the fact that Trump is a master at grabbing all the attention. He is a master at sucking all the oxygen out of the room, and that he needed a strategy to deal with that before he got in. And so far, I'm not seeing a strategy here. Now, it's very early. It's summer. People are on vacation. I don't believe the most voters are paying any attention to the race. But I am concerned about the fact that many of DeSantis' supporters on social media, they're very demoralized. I don't know what their expectations were. I don't know if they thought DeSantis would announce and he would immediately shoot up to the top of the polls. I don't know. What did you think?
Well, I expected maybe a little bit more of a move of the needle, like I alluded early on in this conversation. Maybe I expected a little bit more of a move of the needle a little bit sooner. But I've also said it, this is a 6-month thing. None of this matters. But we're talking about like December 1st. That's when I'll start to go into panic mode. Ron is still in the 15 to 25% range, and Trump is in the 45 to 55% range. That's a blowout. That's a pack it up, go back to Florida, let Trump have this one. You know, sure was fun, and we'll see you guys in 4 years. I'm going to go run Florida and support the president from Florida. When DeSantis comes back in 4 years, nobody gets to complain about, well, it's Trump's turn. You have to be loyal. Well, this isn't your turn. You're too young. In 4 years, it's all DeSantis. But we've still got 5 months until that.
I mean, he's a steady 20%. He's not going anywhere. He's just staying right there. That interactive poll, that echelon poll that I quoted early on, I mean, the idea that Ron DeSantis has lost half of his support since January. I mean, I think that's just ridiculous. That's just polls manipulating, trying to come up with a headline. I think what DeSantis needs to do is he needs to change the conversation. And I think he needs to put the onus on GOP voters and ask them flat out, what do you want? Do you want results, or do you just want to be entertained?
Right.
Are you truly, truly interested in seeing these policies that you claim you care about implemented? Because I have a record that shows I can do that. I have done that. Donald Trump had 4 years and he did not do it for whatever reason. I don't even care what the reason is, but I think he needs to change the conversation, and he needs to start asking these questions to the GOP primary voters. Have a conversation with the voters. Do you want to be entertained, or do you want results? What is it?
So you alluded to the Real Clear Politics polling a couple weeks ago. There was a point at which DeSantis had, I thought, a really good week, because there was only one, maybe during the week, poll where Trump was over 50%. And I thought that that was really kind of indicative of the conversation that we had had a couple months ago, where we said, oh, well, you know, Iowa, that trip to Iowa with the cancellation due to weather is going to be the date when everybody looks back and says this was the beginning of the end. Well, then we had the last couple of weeks. Let me just pull from these just to give you examples. So this was Friday, June 16th, Trump 53, DeSantis 17. This is Republican presidential nomination, so I'm assuming that's national. Saturday, the 17th of June, Trump 59, DeSantis 14. Again, that is national.
I mean, the Harvard-Harris poll shows, what, 59, Trump 14. Now, again, why would DeSantis drop to 14? I mean, he has not done anything to justify a drop in support. He might have not done anything to increase his support. That I can buy.
Yeah, but this is what I'm talking about here is, though, the drop below 50% in the Trump numbers. So here's Tuesday, June 20th. Trump 47, DeSantis 26. Okay, that looks interesting. That's CNN, and that's national poll. Wednesday, the 21st, Trump 46, DeSantis 23. Okay, Trump is under 50. This is in Montana. That's the first time I think that we've seen Montana. Thursday, June 22nd, South Carolina. Okay, so this is an early one. Trump 41, DeSantis 18, which is a little bit low, but you've also got two people in that state running for president in Haley and Scott. So they're both 8 and 10. Okay, that makes sense that Trump and DeSantis would both come down some. Let's see, 2024, this is also Thursday, June 22nd, mm-hmm. Emerson Republican presidential nomination. Now, this one has Trump at 59, DeSantis at 21. So that's kind of the one where the number was up over 50 still. Same day, Yahoo News, so national, Trump 48, DeSantis 24. So same thing, Trump under 50. Sunday, June 25th. Now we start to see Trump back up over 50. NBC, so this is a national poll. Trump 51, DeSantis 22. Tuesday the 27th, Trump 47, DeSantis 19, so still have some of the Trump under 50. Wednesday 28th, Quinnipiac, Pennsylvania, Trump 49, DeSantis 25. Wisconsin is an interesting one. This is really interesting. 2024, June 28th, Marquette, Wisconsin Republican presidential primary, Trump 31, DeSantis 30.
Yeah, but you know what's so interesting to me about these polls is, why aren't they polling the early states?
Well, we see them occasionally.
I would think that the early states, that's probably most interesting to some state that is going to be impacted by the results of the early state, which that's what always happens. That's what always happens. First states to go, they have the greatest impact for the simple reason that you're going to have candidates drop out, and then you build a certain momentum and all of that.
Well, let me show you what's happened the last few days, though, because here's kind of where I'm going with this. So Thursday the 29th, we had Fox, which is a national poll, Trump 56, DeSantis 22. Same day, Nevada, so a state poll, Trump 52, DeSantis 22. Friday the 30th, we've got Ohio, bellwether state, Trump 59, DeSantis 15. And that's the last one. That we didn't have one yesterday on Monday the 3rd. So we had a week there where for about a week, and I messaged you at one point and made you aware of this. I was like, wow, this is kind of surprising. We had a week there a couple weeks ago where Trump fell below 50% pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. And there was only, I think, one during that week where he was over 50, whether it was a state or national poll. There was only one poll that showed him over 50. So I started to think, well, okay, maybe it's starting to swing a little bit. Because like I said in my analysis at one point, it doesn't have to swing a whole lot at once. It's just that when you see Trump drop below 50, like I said, those winner-take-all states, automatically, Trump doesn't winner-take-all all of those delegates from any one of those states. And so when he consistently for a week dropped under 50, I was like, hey, this is kind of noteworthy. But like I said, these last few days, the last week or so, he's back up over 50. And I'm not quite sure why that is. But the fact of the matter is, in the last week, we see Trump back up over 50%. So as far as, you know, where we were 2 months ago and where we are right now, we don't appear to have really seen very much of a shift. So there's rattling, I guess, back and forth of the needle. It hasn't really moved. But I think that your point, 2 points, that DeSantis needs to get out and he needs to shift the topic.
Look, if we keep talking If the conversation is about polls and crowd size, Donald Trump is going to win. If the conversation is about record and policy, DeSantis is going to win.
Do you think that is an effective way to actually state it? I mean, to just get right, not physically, but rhetorically speaking, get right in people's faces and just say, listen, if you want a guy who's going to get up there and going to entertain you and do crazy stuff, obviously Donald Trump is going to beat me. Hands down, this is going to be over and finished with very quickly.
Yeah, I think it would be better served to simply say, I'm not an entertainer. That's not my skill set. I think it would be better for him to admit that. What is that famous speech that Ronald Reagan gave? A time of for choosing. I think he did it on behalf of, what was the guy that ran against LBJ? From Arizona, I can't think of his name right now.
Goldwater.
Exactly. Goldwater. There you go. I think he gave the speech about a time for choosing. And I think that Ron DeSantis should do something similar. Maybe even name it a time for choosing, another time for choosing or something, but refer back to that speech because there's still a lot of boomers that fondly remember Ronald Reagan. And just put it before the Republican electorate. What do you want? Do you want an entertainer? Do you want someone who talks big? Or do you want someone who performs and delivers? I think something like that needs to be done and change the conversation. There was something else, too, that I wanted to ask you about. Do you think that DeSantis should name Trump in his speeches, or should he continue doing what he's doing?
I really would like to see him not talk to, not name, not refer to, nothing, Donald Trump, because I just don't think that that's going to serve him well. When I ran as a candidate, you know, the one thing that I kept hearing time and time again is don't ever name your opponent. Don't give him the impressions. Don't give him the attention. Don't allow other people to think of your opponent. I don't know if that's the way to go about it, if that's what DeSantis needs to do, because the Trump supporters are so touchy about that. How dare you say anything about our guy?
Look, Donald Trump already gets plenty of attention. Why add to it? And if he were to attack Donald Trump, then the conversation would be about, oh, he attacked Donald Trump, instead of the conversation needs to be on DeSantis' strength, and that is the results and the policy. And just say, hey, I'm not Donald Trump. I don't want to be Donald Trump. This is who I am. This is what I can deliver for you, GOP voters. Do you want it or not?
Yes.
And the reason why Donald Trump talks polls and crowd size is because, do you think that Donald Trump can have a conversation about policy?
Oh, never. No, not on any individual policy. No. He has to talk about popularity because that's the only thing, entertainment and popularity and, like you said, polls and crowd size. Oh, look at my polling. Hey, look at how many people showed up here. Look, the thing that happened the other day, the event in South Carolina, I believe it was, 50,000 people supposedly showing up.
Yeah.
Which, once again, that was outside, correct? That was an outdoor event?
That not only was it an outdoor event, there were several different events that were going on in that area at the same mm-hmm. time. So it's not like it used to be where there would be an arena and the only star on the stage was Donald
right.
Trump. And people went there to see Trump. And yes, it was outside. I don't know if it was 50,000, 2,000, 3,000. Look, he has a loyal fan base that will show up for him. Apparently, there are people there kind of like the Grateful Dead who kept going to concert after concert, kind of follow the band around and go see all of their concerts. There are people that have gone to 20, 30 Donald Trump rallies. It's an event. Mm-hmm. It's an event for them. They're fans. It's a fan club. And maybe the way to address the crowds is to just simply ask GOP voters, well, did the big crowds win in 2018? Did it win in 2020? Did the big crowds in Pennsylvania in 22 result in Dr. Oz as senator and Mastriano as governor? No. The crowd size tells you nothing because the vast majority of the people who vote never go to a political rally. People used to hold rallies to get people to the polls. You don't have to do that anymore. You got this whole structure that the Democrats have built up. And Ron DeSantis, I will give him praise for this. He is building an organization. He is going to do ballot harvesting where it is legal. So he understands that the game has changed. And that's maybe that should be part of the message. Look, guys, polls, rallies, that's old style. That system doesn't exist anymore.
Yes.
It doesn't work. You got three election cycles.
2018, 2020, 2022. Yeah. I mean, it didn't work in the sense that even in 2016, Donald Trump did not win the popular vote, which technically, as I've said, is not a legal thing. It doesn't exist. But the fact of the matter is, we do add up all of those states, and it doesn't work.
The only way I can explain these polls is that Donald Trump has been very, very successful in demonizing Ron DeSantis.
He's disloyal.
Maybe that has a lot of traction.
Then what do you call a guy who has absolutely no anything jumping in and running against Donald Trump? Is that disloyalty or not?
No, because Vivek is not running against Donald Trump. And every time Donald Trump got indicted, Vivek was there praising Donald Trump, which again raises the question, why are you running?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just to promote himself, but that's fine. That's fine. Whatever it is. I don't know. Now that I think about it, maybe that attack line, disloyalty, that has really hit a nerve within the GOP base. Maybe they say, you know, DeSantis, we really like you. We like you as governor. We like what you've done, but it's not your turn and you are being disloyal. Maybe that could explain the polls.
And if that is the case, then I have to say I misjudged how GOP primary voters think.
Well, and if that's the case, that's really disappointing. I have to say I'm really disappointed in my fellow Republicans because I would hope for more than that. And if that's what we're going to fall for, and if that's what we're going to be dissuaded by, is all of the fluff that Donald Trump just barfs out of his mouth. That's really disappointing.
People
are not serious. People are not serious.
Exactly.
What it boils down to. You got a bunch of children, basically.
They see that DeSantis is piling on with the Democrats on poor, martyr Donald Trump.
And if you had to ask his supporters, okay, what's the net end of all this going to be? What's he going to accomplish? You get him across the threshold and he gets the hand on the Bible and he gets inaugurated again. He gets to say, look at how big my inauguration is. This is the biggest crowd in the history. What's he going to do?
I don't think they're thinking rationally. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why absolutely, it's critical that DeSantis changes the dynamics of the race. It makes it about policy. It makes it about results. Mm-hmm. It makes it rational. Because if you stay in this emotional whirlwind of Donald Trump, okay, where people are feeling sorry for him because he's been attacked by the Democrats, and look at mean DeSantis, he's being disloyal to him, and you know, I don't think it's fair what was done to him. He was never given. If we are into this emotional state, then DeSantis is not going to win.
Well, what type of time frame are we talking about here? You know, are we talking about a 2-year loyalty fealty test? Are we talking about 4-year? Are we talking about 8-year? Are we talking about the rest of our life? Are we talking about I have to go out and fundraise for you? I have to go out and win votes for you? What exactly? Was this a contract? Was this a handshake agreement of, I'm going to agree to support you, protect you, and defend you for the rest of your natural days? There's never been anything like that stated or expected of anybody. And I'm torn. Do you do this? Do you not do this? When Donald Trump starts criticizing you about the topic of your loyalty to him, I bow up, and the first thing I think is, okay, first of all, we're talking about a man who's on his third wife, who cheated on his third wife with a stripper, and all the stuff that came about from that. We're talking about a man who has screwed every single small business person he's ever done business with out of contracts agreed to in law. We're talking about a guy who went before the people in 2016 and said, lock her up, and he didn't lock her up. We're talking about a guy who said, build a wall. The wall is not built. We're talking about a guy who said, drain the swamp, and the swamp is dirtier and nastier than ever. The only difference is that we have seen it. But he did not do what he said he was going to do.
Yes, I think that's a good line of attack. It's a good response. I don't know that I would have DeSantis do it. Maybe do it through ads. But I think this disloyalty, now the more I think about it, I think that's how he's keeping up these polls. Because I think that the voters see him being attacked by the Democrats And they're kind of transferring some of the anger that they have towards the Democrats over to DeSantis because DeSantis is being disloyal. I agree with your response. I would have somebody, some operatives address that. I mean, really, seriously, Donald Trump is the last person on earth to talk about loyalty.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about the fact that he cheated on every one of his wives. Let's leave that aside. What about the January 6th people? What about the people who gave $250 million to the Stop the Steal effort? And he's using that money to pay for his legal fees, pay for everything except the steal.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
I think this is the one thing he needs to address, this issue of loyalty. Because honestly, it's BS. This is total BS. Oh, okay. You endorse the guy. And that means, like you said, what does this mean? A lifetime commitment? I mean, it's just nonsense. This is childish. This is nonsense. And frankly, anybody who falls for this is an idiot. Well, maybe I shouldn't say idiot, but I mean, come on, David.
Yeah, I was just going to say to wrap it up, I think that the original quote that you brought in from the podcast a couple months ago, back in May, I think that that may have been worded a little bit strongly. And I think that the correct way to look at it is that was just the beginning of a very long primary battle. And like I've said on a couple of occasions in our other conversations, this is none of the polling right now is relevant to what's going to be going on in January when the caucuses and the primaries start. The stuff that we see right now is not important. We're still now five months away. December 1st is when you have to start paying, you know, Thanksgiving, December 1st is when you have to start paying attention to how's the polling looking. If it's still 50-ish to 20-ish, then, like I said, at that point, I think that it's pretty safe to say that the
prediction that we made was wrong.
Yeah. You know, and so be it, you know.
Hey, it happens. I mean, it happens. But yeah, I agree with you. I think if we get that close.
Like we've said, Ron DeSantis is young. He goes back to Florida. He governs for another 4 years, and then he comes back, and he is the heir apparent. Because at that point, nobody's going to be able to make the argument that this is Trump's turn, and you have to be you have to be loyal, and you have to wait your turn, and you have to support him, and none of that stuff. I mean, rationally, realistically, you've now lost three elections in a row. You can't make that argument at that point.
What did I say the very first episode? I did not think that Ron DeSantis should get in because it was a very, very high risk move. And I did not want to see the most successful GOP governor since Reagan be sacrificed in this kind of environment. This is a very, very tricky environment for him to navigate. So we'll see what he does. So far, I am not impressed with his consultants, but hey, we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is way early, and I think we should just kind of leave it at that. It's always great talking to you.
You as well. You as well. I agree. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.